You're watching Meet the Movie Press, and coming up, we're going to be talking about Wonder Woman, The Mummy, and the new Hellboy. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Good morning, Simon.
Oh, you're full of beans, aren't you?
I am ready to do this. I missed last week's show. Roxy Stryer did a fantastic job filling in for me.
Yeah.
And
well,
now
filling
we're
in
back.
For me, because I was filling in for you.
That's right. All the chairs were rearranged, but I'm back in my spot.
Welcome.
I am Jeff Snyder, host of Meet the Movie Press, editor-in-chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the InSnyder, and with me, as always,
Simon Thompson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Showbiz Simon. I've also got a Facebook page. This is Simon Thompson. And I'm from all over the place. I work for loads of people, so be here all day.
He's just so popular.
So there's that.
Okay, where do you want to start?
Let's talk about The Mummy. Okay, because it's the big release of the week.
See these bags under my eyes? This is from watching The Mummy last night.
Yeah, because I want to talk about that
and then 10:30 showing.
Dark Universe, which people have been asking us
I have like 18 bullet points here for The Mummy.
Okay, let's kick off with The Mummy. Biggest release of the week this week. There are other films, we'll get to those later, but The Mummy. You saw it last night, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you think?
Wasn't good.
Okay.
Really wanted it to be good.
That was one bullet point.
That's the big bullet point.
That's the takeaway.
Listen, I love Tom Cruise. He's the only true movie star left practically.
Mm-hmm.
God, is he miscast in this movie? Everyone around him is terrible. There's not much to really recommend in this film. And I wanted it to be good because as a horror fan, you know, I'm excited about Universal ponying up and doing, you know, this genre proud.
Yeah.
And going back to their legacy characters and doing this classic monsters universe. But this is not how you start the thing. And it's really because these movies, the characters are really supposed to be the stars.
Okay.
And this movie is overwhelmed by being the Tom Cruise show.
Mm-hmm.
And it never really recovers from that. I am a little nervous about The Dark Universe because to me, Tom Cruise is by far the best movie star you're going to get. They've got Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Russell Crowe, mm-hmm. who is awful in this movie. I don't know who would want to see a standalone Jekyll and Hyde movie or would want him to be the Nick Fury of this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Javier Bardem. It's like all these like 50-year-old movie stars, and it just I don't know. I wonder if they're going to be rethinking this after The Mummy. Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan, I feel like this movie needed a stronger producerial hand. I know Sean Daniel was also involved. A little creaky, you know?
Little
creaky.
I was going to go to a screening on Tuesday. I had to sack it off. Unfortunately, I was working a Stranger Things thing. I'm very disappointed. I'm going to go and see it this weekend. I'm going to pay. I'm very disappointed to hear that it's not good. But you've sold me on the fact that you say it's the Tom Cruise show. Because like you, I love a bit of Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is the fucking man.
But people keep talking about this as a horror movie. Now, the originals were horror movies. But don't forget, those were not like scary horror movies. They were like atmospheric horror movies.
I thought that this is much closer to, you know, the Brendan Fraser Mummy than the original Mummy. This is a swashbuckling adventure movie.
Is it the first Brendan Fraser movie or is it the second and third?
I'm not a fan of that franchise. I know a lot of people have come out of the woodwork seemingly.
I love the first one.
And they're huge supporters
now
of the Brendan Fraser movies. But
yeah,
no, I was never really a fan. Yeah, it's just a miscalculation. Everything about it last night. I mean, I sat there in utter disbelief, and I have great respect for the team at Universal.
Yeah.
You know, but this is the second straight summer tentpole following Jason Bourne last year, where you're just like, who thought this was a good idea as the dailies came in? So the question now is, should Universal worry about its Dark Universe?
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that it actually has the right movie next, which is The Bride of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only movie that's dated. That's from Bill Condon.
Mm-hmm.
Much different director than Alex Kurtzman. I mean, much more experienced. They don't have cast yet.
No.
I still think it's going to be Angelina Jolie. I think Angelina Jolie needs to reassert her commercial viability and needs to do a big movie.
Yep.
And if it's not Dark Phoenix, which I don't think it will be, then I think that she should do Bride of Frankenstein. I mean, if they don't get her, you have to look at Scarlett Johansson, unless you're looking at her for like Creature from the Black Lagoon or something. It would be great to have her in this world. But like, do you think that that Universal needs to hit the panic button right now?
No,
after one movie.
I mean, we're looking at box office last night was 2.7 million,
which is not bad.
Which is not bad.
It was much better than Oblivion, right?
Yeah,
and it's on pace for like the biggest. Is it Tom Cruise's biggest global bomb?
I'm going to get to that now. We're looking at
I'll let you do your box office then.
A 35 to 40 million weekend domestically, which is kind of where they thought it would be.
You think it's going to hit 35?
That's what they're
because it seemed
saying.
Like projections have lowered to
Well, originally it was 40, then it was 30, 35. Now it's currently looking at like 35 to 40 domestic.
Okay.
Now, while that's not amazing. It was a film, I think they took $125 million to make, so it'll probably domestically...
Deadline keeps beating the drum for this $195 million figure that they've heard. Like, is there no middle ground?
But if you look at internationally, as you were about to say, it is looking like it's going to be the biggest non-domestic opening, or certainly one of the biggest, if not the biggest, for Tom Cruise.
Right.
Internationally. In Korea, South Korea alone on Tuesday, it took $6.6 million. The biggest... opening day of any film. It beat Train to Busan, which is a brilliant movie. So, really,
and again,
these kinds of
stats, though, like, they're meaningless.
Well,
let's be honest.
Are they meaningless? Because we've had this discussion on the show previously that increasingly a lot of these movies where people are looking at the American box office going, ooh, this is in trouble, it's actually becoming increasingly more important for the international box office, which is making up 70% of the box office, sometimes even more, which means that these films continue to be viable internationally, which means they will keep getting made. I don't think Universal are hitting the pan. I think they're disappointed with this.
They have to be.
Yeah, obviously they would be, but I don't think they're going to hit the panic button. I think there's too much invested. They've laid too much out of this very clearly with talent, directors, started to add dates to stuff to start to back away from this. Jason Blum said recently, and Alex said something similar on this recently, if you look at the budgets of these films, and Jason was like, look, you give me 20 million, I'll give you a kick-ass movie. You know, there are directors out there who can deliver on these smaller budgets, which means that then if they open at 35, 40, you know, it's fucking Christmas because you've got twice your money back. Then advertising and stuff like that, you're probably making a bit of profit, but that's on your opening weekend alone. You know, this is a guy who's turned out, he did Get Out, very low budget by Hollywood standards, and then, what, $220 million. That's a great return on that. I think that is the key for this moving forward. International box office, lower the budget. Obviously, you spend a lot of money on the star, but you can do some very clever stuff with not a huge amount of money right now. And that, I think, will be the key to moving this forward. And look, they even added Hunchback of Notre Dame and Phantom of the Opera. Alex mentioned Dracula potentially as well this week. This is too much of a cash cow. And if you think of the theme parks, the merchandise, everything that could come off this, I think Universal are not going to back away from this with any speed whatsoever.
I got excited last night when you see that Universal logo come up.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it starts to rotate. That's the Dark Universe logo. It's what is on the other side of that globe. And it looked... It was just a cool moment, but at the same time... Let's get back to the budget thing,
because
that was honestly my next bullet point. So if this was 125, that's the question. Is that too high? Should this have been made in the 75, 85 million range? Or completely, like you said, taking it the Jason Blum model and doing it for 5 to 20 million.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I was surprised when I heard 125. I was very surprised when I heard 100.
It looks more expensive than that. It looks big.
Yeah.
I mean, the production design, the sets and that kind of stuff.
But they could have done this for 100 million and still done a lot of really cool stuff.
I mean... Also, a huge marketing budget. You know, Universal has really gone behind this.
Although, strangely, on the posters, I've noticed, and we discussed this briefly the other week, they're all saying The Mummy Summer. Whereas all the other movies that are coming out, they've got film title The Date. So it's kind of weird.
What was weird is that Tom Cruise is not really front and center because they're selling the image with the mummy in her eyes and the lettering all over her face. And that brings me to my next bullet point. It's like this is the second Tom Cruise disappointment in a row after Jack Reacher 2.
Yeah.
And it's like, is he still what he once was? Is it like, you know, Mission Impossible is still a very healthy franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know, does he take a hit with this movie?
No.
does Universal have to be nervous about American Made, which is obviously a much smaller budget thing. It looks great.
It looks brilliant. I mean, that is Tom doing a brilliant mix of drama Tom and just charming crazy Tom, like, and the
smooth talking Tom Cruise.
Love it.
I really like the trailer. Mm. There was a trailer in front of the Mummy last night for American Made, and it was different than the one that was released online. Yep. All the coke that he's covered in, the cocaine, that's not in the trailer that was in front of the Mummy. I wonder if that's because it's, you know, it's supposed to be a family-friendly movie, in a sense, and they don't want to see the star of that movie covered in a bunch of coke beforehand.
Come on, this is Hollywood. Who doesn't fall out of a plane covered in coke?
But it looked like a return to form for Cruise a little bit.
Brilliant. I'm genuinely excited about American Made, and I think it's very shrewd of Universal to release that this week.
I agree.
I think it's very shrewd, because it's kind of like,
it was smart.
Mummy's not hitting, shit, let's get this trailer out. And that's our end of September, which is not a long way away anyway. But I think I don't think this is really going to affect Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has had, you know, quite a few films over the years that haven't hit the mark, that have been critically mauled. He's not a Johnny Depp. He seems to survive these things. You know, we're having a film that misses the mark, and he continues to be popular, and especially internationally, he's still a popular film star.
Well, Tom Cruise has never been accused of doing anything to anyone.
No,
he may be
no,
a
he
little
hasn't.
Eccentric,
he
and
hasn't.
His
yeah.
religious stuff
but
has gotten
again,
flack.
I don't think Johnny Depp, his drop in appeal is entirely down to his personal situation.
Yeah, and you have to think, Paramount must be keeping an eye on these numbers, because they're about to greenlight Top Gun Maverick. That's the new title. By the way, what did you think of that title?
Shit.
You didn't like that title?
No.
I mean, again, this is the Tom Cruise show.
It is.
It makes a lot of sense.
I will watch the Tom Cruise show, because I love Tom Cruise. I watched Stranger Things recently. I'm the last man on the planet.
We're going to talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, but they made a Tom Cruise reference in that, and I'm like,
well, sure,
holy shit.
80s, yeah.
He's so much ingrained in the industry.
You know, I wonder if Paramount is looking at these Mummy numbers and being like, okay, we need to... Like you said, $100 million budget cut off or whatever for Top Gun. Now, Top Gun is, I would say, a bigger brand than The Mummy. I mean, arguably,
also,
what do you think?
But I think also Top Gun has so much love and so much heritage around it that I think on advertising spend, you can go to town, but that is a film that's going to sell itself. Top Gun 2, people are like, yeah, I'm in. It's Tom Cruise. It's Top Gun 2. I'm in.
And there was also news this week, just in terms of like what these Mummy people have coming up next. Sofia Boutella joined Fahrenheit 451 at HBO, joining Michael B. Jordan and Michael Shannon. That's a good move for her. I just feel like she has been Hollywood has done her a disservice, slathering her in all this makeup between The Mummy and Star Trek 3. Like, what happened to the Sofia Boutella from Kingsman? I want her back, and I think we're going to get her in Atomic Blonde.
Yes, I agree with you that it has, but it's also given her two summer blockbusters. Okay.
She's blowing up, yeah.
Films that haven't exactly done, you know, dollar bills, yo. At the box, oh god, that sounded so white.
Yeah,
it hasn't done, you know, huge amounts of money at the box office.
Star Trek 3 was a bomb too.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's still put her front and center two summers in a row.
Absolutely. Listen, she's going to be working for a long time.
If the likes of
she's ethnically ambiguous, so she's like Oscar Isaac in that sense, where she can play a whole bunch of different ethnicities.
If Toby Kebbell can keep working, Toby, who I absolutely love and is a lovely guy, he's been in more bombs than I can shake a stick at. If brilliant Toby Kebbell can keep working and be in multiple stinkers, she
all
can
right,
do it.
We'll move on from The Mummy. Okay. We spent a lot of time on that. I you know, hopefully Universal will find some form of course correction.
Yeah, I think they will. And I'm pretty confident Dark Universe is going to continue, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
And make up your own mind. Some people, this Mummy movie may be for some people. Simon's going to check it out this weekend.
I am, yeah.
We'll get back to you.
Okay, so another movie doing quite well at the box office, Wonder Woman.
That's a different kind of story. It's doing, last week it had, the biggest opening weekend for a female-directed movie?
Yes.
Pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. I mean, it really stood up. The reviews from audiences, great. The reviews from critics were great. Some people are saying some of the critics went overboard. It's great, but it's not like...
We were definitely primed to go overboard.
Yeah. And some people, I don't like to say this, but I will. I think some people just went to do a little bit of poster whoring to get their name on the poster with
it's it. Like, revolutionary.
Yes. Never seen a woman in a movie before. Yeah, so there's a little bit of that. But we got the sequel confirmed. Although there was, at one point in the week, Patty Jenkins signed up for Wonder Woman 2. And then it was like, she's not signed up for Wonder Woman 2 yet.
Was the sequel confirmed? There was no, like...
Apparently. I saw this on Slash Film that it's like, yeah, there is going to be a sequel.
I mean, obviously there's going to be a sequel, but like, is it confirmed that there's going to be a sequel just because we got a story that said she's not signed for a sequel? Not the sequel, but a sequel?
They're going to do a Wonder Woman sequel. That was an interesting story, though.
So Patty Jenkins is not signed.
No,
This was a bit of a bombshell.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I think they're probably having negotiations. I think they would be mad not to pay whatever she wants to get her back to do it. I would do a Nolan with her. I would get her to do 3 movies. Now, whether that's another Wonder Woman and then a Justice League type or other character movie, I don't know. Or whether it's a 3rd Wonder Woman movie, do a bit of an Iron Man, have the 3 and then... just have Wonder Woman coming back as a character every now and again. That's how I would play it, but Warner Brothers aren't taking advice from me. But I think clearly, as I was talking to Roxy about this last week, I think there's something that she has with this cast and this material that is going to be very difficult to replicate if she doesn't come back. There's something unique going on there.
I'll put it this way. She's a great ambassador for the brand.
Yeah.
She's like the media likes her.
Yeah,
you can see just the reaction on Twitter. You know, like Ava DuVernay, you know, saying, "Oh, I cried," and when I saw Patty's name up there, like, there's a lot of goodwill towards her and buzz around her. So I think Warner Brothers absolutely has to bring her back, and I think that they will. And I think that this is a little thing that could very well happen. I think Patty Jenkins could be the first female director to make 8 figures on a movie.
Mm. I think that's true.
I think that's totally fair. I think she could be the first woman to make $10 million directing a film.
When is Patty Jenkins going to direct Tom Cruise? That's something I'd like to see.
But here's the question. Why didn't they have her signed for a sequel? You know, I know they traditionally... a lot of directors have these options on sequels. There was that kind of question this week. Like, dude, you know, basically, was Warner Brothers just not sure? Were they not confident in her ability?
Do you know what? I don't know. Bottom line, I don't know. This is not fact.
It's a shrewd move on her agent's part, because they've got Warner Brothers now over a barrel.
It's a shrewd move on her agent's part. It's also a shrewd move from Warner Brothers, who have been burnt previously by directors on product in the last, certainly within the DCU.
Sure.
Who have then gone, if it doesn't work out, and Wonder Woman was a little bit of a gamble, you know, and they were kind of like a very popular character, it could have not gone well, and if you then don't have someone signed up, you can probably just very quickly push them to the side and brush it off and lick your wounds and carry on. And if you've been burnt once, twice, maybe 3 times, you're kind of like, maybe we should not do that paperwork and have to back out of it. Let's see. And then if it works out really well and it proves to be profitable, we can swallow that amount of money that we're going to have to pay her, which would be more to make a sequel.
Now you just used the word gamble. You said that Wonder Woman was a bit of a gamble. It could have gone either way. Well, couldn't people say that about any movie, though?
Yeah. Like, no, 100%. 100%.
I've seen that word get attacked online because it's not often used when discussing male directors.
Here's the reason I say gamble is because we know that there is, and this is prevalent, you know, very often against female directors and female focused movies, where there's the very big chance that men are not going to turn out and see it. Men are not going to like it. Men are going to have an issue with it. And it's not going to sell to young boys and that kind of thing because it's a female hero, a female superhero. So there is that is the gamble, not Patty. And the chance that Wonder Woman, I think, didn't come off particularly well in Batman versus Superman. So if you're then taking that character, who I think was underserved in that film, put it that way.
I'll give you underserved.
Underserved.
I think people liked her in BBS.
Yeah, people did, but she was underserved. And then giving her her own movie, you're kind of like, are people already a little bit reticent about coming on that journey to then go, I'm going to invest in Wonder Woman, if they already feel perhaps she wasn't drawn the right way or perhaps she wasn't given enough, you know, they don't invest enough in the character. That is the gamble for me.
Did you read David Edelstein's review this week?
I didn't.
There was a lot of commotion around it, just because people felt it was like sort of leering at Gal Gadot or... I don't know. It was interesting, that whole controversy, because
I heard about it. I didn't read it. A few
female critics came to his aid.
Hmm.
I don't know. Read up on that situation. Okay. And then there's also a bunch of outlets ran this shit, and I don't see this at all.
Okay.
Oscar buzz for this movie?
Yeah, I'm thinking
Patty Jenkins. What was it? Scott Feinberg or Chris Tapley? Someone was like, "I've never gotten so many messages on like a Monday morning, like from Academy members being like, oh my god, what do you think of Patty Jenkins as a contender?"
I mean, if it happens, I'd be very, very pleased for her and everybody that gets nominated. I don't think this is best director, best acting, best supporting material. No,
this is below the line.
If you're looking at visual effects, costumes, design, sound, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Absolutely. Very much so.
Yeah.
Could be in with the running.
I don't see this as an above the line player at all. No. I think people are getting carried away, and that's how you start a backlash.
But how many films, even at festivals, do people start losing their shit over? You know, and they're like, oh my god, this is amazing. I mean, we often do this in the community where there are certain people that are more guilty of it than others. When you see a movie that you think everybody is going to like or you think you should like, people kind of lose their shit over it. It happened last summer with Blair Witch, when everybody saw Blair Witch. People were so excited that it was a new Blair Witch movie. Everybody lost their shit, said it was the best thing ever.
Right, it was awful.
And it was fucking shit. It was dog shit. I'm sorry, it was. It was not a good movie. It was way below the director's usual standard.
Right.
For me, it was just terrible. Yeah, I love Adam.
And he knows.
It was terrible. Yeah. But everybody, and then like they backed away from it months later. I think we did this again with them. It was Birth of a Nation last year. Everybody's like, Oscars, Oscars, Oscars. Okay, the situation changed around that film. But still, when people looked at the film, people kind of go change their opinion on it. We do get overexcited about some of these films sometimes.
The festival bubble hype is very real.
Yeah. And I just think, as great as Wonder Woman was, and I really, really enjoyed it. It is not going to be above the line for me. It is going to, and it deserves below the line.
Fair enough. We're going to transition because we have a whole bunch of news items. But real quickly, on that note, as far as the festival bubble hype, this movie, It Comes at Night.
Okay.
Which got great reviews out of like the Overlook Film Festival. Mm-hmm. I saw it like a week or two ago. There's some solid filmmaking on display, and the acting is good, but man, this movie was a total disappointment. Maybe the most disappointing movie I've seen all summer. It added up to just nothing. It's a movie that doesn't answer its own title.
Wow.
I was bummed by this A24 release. Bummed out. That comes out this weekend. It's supposed to do pretty well. It was made for like $5 million. I think it's probably going to gross close to 10 this weekend.
You see, I think It Comes at Night sounds like a sexy horror movie.
It Comes at Night.
Yeah. With like a monster, like the Jizz Master.
It is definitely
not
sexy. It is bleak as fuck. But yeah, it was just very unsatisfying. And it was a disappointing follow-up for Trey Edward Schultz, who did Krisha. Which I really like.
Yeah. Okay, let's whiz through some things very quickly.
Yeah, you pick. You go.
Okay, let's talk about... we knew about Alien 5. Ridley Scott already said that's dead. Neil Blomkamp has now come out and said that, yes, it's dead.
Now it's really dead. Now Neil Blomkamp said it.
But also, his District 9...
This movie was never real. It was never real.
It was real on paper. And then it didn't become a thing. But also now that's dead, he's apparently looking at doing his District 9 spin-off that he talked about a long, 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 long time ago. I'd be quite interested in that.
Leave it alone, buddy. This is not the way to re-engender yourself
Do you know how I would do the spin-off? TV.
Like a sci-fi event series. That would be cool.
Not a movie.
I'll tell you, his short film stuff. Have you seen like these trailers for like short films?
Yeah.
Big budget things. Mm-hmm. I forget what the studio is called. Do you remember?
No.
The Neil Blomkamp thing. It looks really cool. You know, he's been in the news the past few weeks for the right reasons. But yeah, no. Leave District 9 alone, dude.
Okay.
He's been talking about like Elysium and Chappie, right? And how
he has, which Elysium I enjoyed. It's not a great movie, but I did enjoy it.
I enjoyed Chappie. That was the one he was really apologizing for, and I really like Chappie. Simon's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Two people I've met. There's you and Emma Thrower, who used to work at Empire. You were the two people I've met who liked Chappie.
All right, so Alien 5 is dead. R.I.P. Yeah. Alien 5.
Paul Newman, Cars 3. They found some old voice work of his that he did. He's going to be back in Cars 3 as Doc Hudson. It's not a huge story, but I found that genuinely heartwarming. I'm generally against using people who've died in movies, but I do miss Paul Newman. I was thinking about him just recently.
I think that's fucking creepy. I have not heard that story.
Yeah.
They're going to use Paul Newman's voice in a movie in 2 weeks? That's fucking weird. Sorry.
Yeah. I find it quite heartening.
You find it heartwarming.
You know
I find
me
it
in
fucking
the
creepy.
Undead. Also announced in the last 24 hours, the Melissa McCarthy holiday musical comedy that we've all been waiting for. I genuinely have. I'm looking forward to this. Margie Claus is happening, and it's coming
genuinely
out in November 2019.
Looking forward to this.
I am. I like Melissa McCarthy. I'm a Melissa McCarthy apologist.
How many female Santa Claus movies are in development right now? Disney has like two or three. Or
yeah,
like,
and there's
like,
the Kevin Hart one.
Right, Kevin Hart. There's like a million fucking Santa Claus movies. Everyone wants the next crack at Santa now that Bad Santa's out of the way.
Do you know why? Because they generally tend to do quite well. People like a good holiday movie. There's been a lack of them in the last couple of years, and I think they're coming back.
I like that they went with Margie, though.
Yeah.
It's a great name for a Melissa McCarthy character.
Margie.
Claus.
But I think a Melissa McCarthy... Holiday.
Directed
musical,
by her
comedy.
Husband, though, right? Directed by Ben Falcone?
But I like The Boss. God. Have you seen The Nobodies on TV Land?
Nobody's seen that.
I've seen it. I like it. You, me, and Chappie. But no, it's a really, really, really great show. And it absolutely, it's basically created by Melissa. And it takes the constant piss out of her relationship with her and Ben. And by the fact that people give Ben work because they want Melissa McCarthy to be in things.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a genuinely funny show as well. So watch that. But no, I'm up for this. I enjoyed The Boss. I know it's not high comedy, but I enjoyed that last year.
I didn't think
year.
The Boss was terrible, but no. I don't know.
And I like her. So there you go.
Speaking of Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
Let's talk about, do you know where I'm going with this?
I have no idea.
See? Let me handle the segues here. We're going to go from Melissa McCarthy's Santa Claus movie to Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You like that?
She was in Ghostbusters.
Dan Aykroyd this week taking a big fat dump on Paul Feig. This was surprising. Like, Dan Aykroyd apparently is just at that point in his career where he's just like, fuck it, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. There was no real, he was not playing the Hollywood politics game here. And he ended up walking it back with like a weird half-hearted apology. Simon, you look like you're just ready to burst.
No, it's just that every single time that Dan Aykroyd hits the road promoting his skull vodka, you know, the vodka that he's got in that skull
he's
bottle thing. He's doing a press tour in the UK for it at the moment. And whenever he's doing the tour, everybody asks him about Ghostbusters. I think what he said, okay, Ghostbusters was not a great movie. There were a lot of mistakes maybe in that movie. But I think he was very happy to get involved in that movie. He made suggestions to Paul Feig. Paul Feig didn't do them, and then they had to go and do the suggestions that Dan made anyway, according to Dan Aykroyd. But also to take a dump on that movie when you were more than happy to take a paycheck to be involved with it, I think is kind of sly. And I guarantee that if they were doing a sequel, unlikely, but if they do, he got the phone call, he would still do it. And I'm just kind
of
like,
of course he
would. Come on, Dan, don't be more classy. Don't shit where you eat, my friend.
It's a little unfair. I mean, listen, Paul Feig deserves some blame here. Like, he is not...
Yeah, but also...
But he doesn't deserve it all. There's
he doesn't
plenty
deserve
of
this.
Blame to go around about this Ghostbusters movie. And I just... I also love how the media seizes on everything every celebrity says. There's no even effort to confirm any of this shit.
Yeah.
So kudos to Deadline for reaching out to Sony and trying to, like, confirm that $30 to $40 million reshoot figure, which was absurd. People don't understand Hollywood and the business.
People don't care.
You know, so they write that, you know, Dan Aykroyd says something and then they write it up as truth. I'm telling you, you can't believe anything celebrities say. They don't know what they're talking about.
Also, with no disrespect to Dan, I have been a fan of Dan's work for decades and decades and decades. But Dan Aykroyd is not at the heart of the movie making machine of Hollywood and has not been at the heart of the filmmaking machine in Hollywood for about 20 years.
They keep him around because they can't reach Bill Murray.
You know, it's just, come on, Dan. That was kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
Disappointed.
It certainly wasn't cool. I'm sure he has to, I'm sure he realizes
that. Yeah, I was
that.
Disappointed with that this week. Because Paul's a nice guy. He's one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. And I think he's a very, very talented comedy director.
You can't blame
him
for taking
think...
a swing. It's just,
Ghostbusters was like, no, but Ghostbusters was a committee movie. Everybody had their own ideas of what
all
it should
these
have
movies
been.
Are committee
and it just
movies.
Turned out to be not what anybody wanted, and it was just unfair. But there you go, Dan Aykroyd. Bad Dan Aykroyd.
You know what? Let's talk about Hellboy, I think.
Yeah,
I think
let's talk about it.
Someone had an exclusive.
Got a
it wasn't,
scoop.
It
got
wasn't
a scoop.
Me, it was
no,
you.
It was me. I uncovered this one this week.
Ooh, what do we got?
So, let me set the scene for you. So, it's Tuesday. It's Beverly Hills. I'm at the FYC event for Netflix for Stranger Things, which is potentially in line for Emmy nominations.
Mm, thanks, Netflix.
All the cast are walking down the carpet. First person I get to talk to is David Harbour, obviously. Now, he, you know, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is going to be the new Hellboy. He's just finished filming Stranger Things Season 2. So I thought, well, I'll ask and see, you know, how far they are along with Hellboy. So it starts filming in September.
Ooh.
So that's when they start shooting. He confirmed that
Get
to me.
Excited.
David has seen a lot of the art. He said the script is really good. He would say that. You know, but he seemed pretty convinced that it's good. Whether it's good as in it's a good script or whether the script's good, like I'm good, bro. That kind of good. Don't know.
Okay.
He's done some molds and some castings for Hellboy. So that side of things, they're trying out a few things. They're trying to come up with the whole thing was the phrase that he used. But his big goal right now is he's going back to New York. He's going to hit the gym because he is, quote unquote, gonna get big. So he's going to be lifting a lot of heavy things, in his own words. But yeah, so start filming in September. Seen a lot of the art, likes it. Script is good. Did some moldings and castings. They're trying to come up with the whole thing for Hellboy. And his big goal right now is going to go back to the gym. And he is going to get big, which is great. He is a tall fella. I mean, okay, I'm not particularly tall. But he's a tall fella. So standing in front of him and having him say this, I'm like... You are going to be a good Hellboy. I'm pretty excited about this.
So what was the scoop? September?
September. And just an update on the production.
Okay.
But thanks for that. Thanks for your support on that scoop. I do appreciate that, Jim. thank you.
Cameras will roll in September, folks.
And also, I also spoke to the Duffer Brothers, the guys who obviously the creators of the show, executive producers. Don't roll your eyes.
Did I?
Yeah. They were saying that basically, you know, Matthew Modine played Dr. Bremner in the first season, and at the end, you've seen the show, right? If you haven't seen it, spoiler.
Stranger Things? Of course I've seen the show.
I know, I just want to check. So you know when he kind of gets attacked by a monster, and I was like, okay, he's not listed in the second season. I asked them if Dr. Brenner is dead or not. They said not. They don't think that would be the way for him to go, so they want to give him a proper send-off.
Okay.
I asked if Matthew...
Is he getting a send-off? Is that the scoop that you just broke?
I asked them if Matthew had been on set for season 2, and they said they don't know, they can't remember. I was like, yeah, I'm not buying that at all.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they say he's not dead, and they want to give that character a proper death. So, expect to see Matthew Modine. If he doesn't appear in season 2, we probably haven't seen the last of him. He does deserve a proper death, which is a nice thing for someone to say. I think he deserves a proper death.
As I've noted previously on this show and finally tweeted yesterday, I keep hearing that the Duffers want to do 4 seasons of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And Netflix is pushing hard for a 5th. We will see. But rest assured, the show is going to continue beyond season 2.
There is something very cool with Stranger Things coming up in the next couple of months. I can tell you that much between now and the launch.
Mm-hmm.
That I got a heads up on this week.
Is it a maze?
I'm not saying. I'm sworn to secrecy.
Did I just guess it?
I am not
Simon
telling
has the
you,
fucking jump on all these
but
mazes.
There is
so.
Something very
that,
cool.
Oh my god, that would
coming
be,
up for Stranger Things.
That would be really cool.
Just saying. When I can tell you, I'll tell you.
I want a maze for Get Out, the sunken place. I showed my parents that this week, actually, and they liked it.
Good.
You know, they liked
your
the
parents,
Twilight Zone and the Outer Limits
your parents
and that kind
have got
of stuff.
Great taste,
so.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, Get Out, one. I suggested that to the cast a couple of weeks ago that we should do a Get Out maze for Halloween Horror Nights. So that would not surprise me.
Let's continue talking about, shooting start dates since you're so enamored of when things start.
I do.
Tell me about Suicide Squad 2, Simon.
Hooray, is going to start filming next year, apparently. Not so excited about that one.
Still doesn't have a director, though.
Doesn't have a director. Do you think Mel's going to sign on?
I don't know. I get the feeling no.
Mm.
I get the feeling no, but
do you think
I
they'll get
know.
Patty Jenkins to do it?
No, I do not think that.
Okay.
Yeah, we will see what happens there.
I didn't like Suicide Squad. I think they'll have learned their lessons for the second one. So I am strangely optimistic.
THR said in some story, I forget what it was about, that Warner Brothers isn't really focused on Suicide Squad 2. That they're focused on Batgirl and what was the other one? This was in a story recently.
I know what you're talking about, and now you've asked me. I can't remember what it was either.
I don't remember what the other one was, but it wasn't Suicide Squad 2. Maybe it was The Flash.
Mm.
Speaking of DC,
mm-hmm.
Josh Gad meeting with them.
Yeah, very excited about
this. There's
been
a little bit of speculation that he has created himself on Twitter that he could be playing the Penguin, and I, for one, love it.
Yes. Here's my thoughts on this. I would love to see the Penguin in a DC movie. I would love to see a Penguin standalone DC movie.
The Penguin.
Fucking great idea.
Yeah.
How good would that be? He can carry it. I think give the lead to the villain, and I think that would be great.
I always loved Batman Returns and what Danny DeVito did with
genius
that character.
Movie.
And I do think, man, he felt like a fully formed villain with like a real story that you could delve into. I don't know if the TV show Gotham has sort of ruined some of that potential. Like, I know that was very heavy on the Penguin
and
stuff, right?
I don't think so, because I think I think they'll be able to exist separately, and I don't think that would taint too much.
Josh
I think
Gad would be good casting.
People would be so on board with that. Seriously. I know I would.
Did you see him in the Murder on the Orient Express trailer that broke this week?
Yeah, I did. We touched on that briefly at the end of the last. I loved it.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah, we meant to talk about it more, but we just simply ran out of time. There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Set,
but no, I'm genuinely
to a weird
excited.
Song there. It's like an Imagine Dragons
yeah.
song. Yeah,
yeah.
A weird choice, but I
trailer,
am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's a great ensemble cast.
It does.
And speaking of ensemble casts.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Segway King.
Okay.
Steven Spielberg's The Papers.
Yes.
Okay, so imagine all your favorite TV actors. Now they're in this movie. It's Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
This week they picked up Sarah Paulson,
mm-hmm.
who is so good as Marsha Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Odenkirk, mm-hmm. Better Call Saul. Matthew Reese mm-hmm. from The Americans. Carrie Coon from Fargo. Jesse
mm-hmm.
Plemons from Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
David Cross. So, Mr. Show, Bob and David there.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Whitford from The West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Brie.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Greenwood. Tracy Letts. Michael Stuhlbarg, also from Fargo. And Zach Woods from Silicon Valley. Holy shit.
And Screech from Saved by the Bell. No, Screech from Saved by the Bell is not in there.
I just saw Mr. Belding in something, though, recently. I think it was I'm Dying Up Here, that Showtime series that I really like, but I'm not going to talk about. Steven Spielberg's The Papers. This is all about the Pentagon Papers. It was retitled from The Post to The Papers, which I think is a good call. This is going to be out this year.
Mm.
He works fucking fast. There are already photos of him and Hanks and Meryl Streep in the Washington Post editorial meetings.
Mm.
Are you excited for another journalism drama?
Yeah, I am. Very much so. I think that there were a couple of years ago, obviously Spotlight and Truth, and you know, Truth didn't do particularly well, although I quite enjoyed it. But I think they're always fascinating, and I think now it's a really good time to kind of look at that kind of journalism. I think it's very apt, and it's perfect. I mean, the fact that he is sort of
You're
pushing
right.
it through really quickly is a perfect time to do this. I mean, you know, I'm very much the guy that said earlier in the show, let's not get excited about awards buzz, but this is the kind of thing where it does generate that kind of buzz purely from the fact that it's going to exist with that cast.
Spielberg's senses are clearly tingling. He senses an opportunity with what is going on in the world and Trump and all that.
Is he coming back?
And just boom. Huh?
Is he coming back for like a second renaissance of being classic Spielberg? Because some of his stuff has been a little bit hit or miss in the last sort of 10 or 15 years.
Oh, the BFG was fucking awful. But I think Ready Player One could be like amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that could be up there with his great movies.
I think he's hitting his stride again.
Well.
Yeah, he's just... To me, you know, I'm just like, I'm feeling his decisions.
He's like
right
Tom
now.
Cruise to me. Lifetime pass for Steven Spielberg.
Yeah,
come on,
well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But also talking of Bradley Whitford, he's joined Godzilla, the King of the Monsters.
That's
this
right.
Week.
Hey, good Good job.
Queen good of job. The segue.
I could have gone one or two ways with that segue, but nice job.
Yeah, thank you.
Bradley Whitford joined. Zhang Ziyi joined the cast. Thomas Middleditch joined the cast. Everybody's in the MonsterVerse now.
You get a role in the MonsterVerse. Yeah. You get a role in the MonsterVerse. You all get a role in the MonsterVerse.
What was interesting was that yesterday, Legendary's Zhang Ziyi announcement noted how she will, stay with the franchise into... Yep. Additional entries in the MonsterVerse.
Something I would want to touch on very, very quickly that I think we might have a couple of minutes chat about is the Sony launching their clean version of movies for kids. That was announced around a week ago. Basically, movies adapted for a wider audience, so they take out things that kids might not be suitable for kids. What do you think about that? You see, I get why they're doing it. I'm just kind of like, I watched some fucked up shit when I was a kid.
I'm not a fan of the practice of scrubbing these movies. Clearly, Seth Rogen isn't either. He tweeted his displeasure. It's like, I get if you have to clean something up for like an airplane or something like that. But yeah, it's weird that there will be just alternate versions of these movies that are stripped down of everything that makes them interesting. Not that just like anything that's offensive or R-rated is what makes a movie interesting, but...
Well, I've noticed this on TV here. Occasionally I stick on channels like TNT, and the other day they were showing Devil's Advocate during the middle of the day, and there's a bit at the end of that. I mean, spoiler, it's been out for like 15 years, but... Where Al Pacino has Keanu Reeves and he's got his sister there and it's like, sister's making out. And they take out the swearing, but they leave in the incest. And then when the woman takes her top off, you might see her tits. They cut that out or cover that up. And I'm like, so it's fine to show sisters making out, but you can't see her tits.
Probably should use the word breasts.
Breasts? Bosoms.
I don't know.
It's a weird... double standard. And then, like, when I went to see Deadpool last year, and it's like there were families taking their kids who were like 10 years old, and I'm like,
that's the parents' choice, though.
It is the parents' choice.
It's like, it's not for us to judge.
No, but it's kind of like, it's a kind of an odd thing. I watched loads of weird stuff when I was a kid, and stuff that I was...
And look at how you turned out, fucked up.
This is a good point, Sony. I totally agree with your clean version idea.
An immediate one.
Yeah, that argument actually had me there, to be honest with you. Look at me. Look what can happen. I just don't think... If you don't want your kids to see Ghostbusters or Talladega Nights or Elysium or whatever, then don't... let your kids see those movies if you think they're inappropriate, because that's part of the movie, that's the way the movie was made. But I'm not a parent, so what do I know? But
we got some bits and bobs to get through in the last 3 minutes of the show.
Okay,
Jean McCollet Serra directing a Waco movie,
yes,
written by Mark Bull, produced by Annapurna. Yay or nay? Do we need another? Like, there's a Waco like event series coming with Taylor Kitsch and Michael Shannon.
Yeah, I mean,
do we need another Waco thing?
Do we need it? No. Would I like to see it? Yes. I also like his previous work, Orphan and the Shallows.
He's underrated.
Unknown and Nonstop. Okay with those, but
it's a big leap for him.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal's doing a World War II drama, The Lost Airman.
Yep.
Haley Steinfeld, Bumblebee. I guess that was more last week.
That was last week. We touched on that on the show.
Yeah. I mean, do you like that?
Yeah. As I said on the show last week, I think it's kind of, she's going to be wasted in that, but it will give her the high profile summer movie that she kind of will help boost her profile and perhaps put it back on the track.
I think it's the best sort of possible casting a movie like that can get. You said that Carl Reiner is going to show up in Ocean's 8.
He is. He's going to make a cameo as Sam Bloom. He's one of the few returning from Ocean's 11 and 12 that are going to come back and appear in this all-female Steven Soderbergh thing. Cool. Well, I like Carl Reiner.
When I went home this weekend, my grandfather was raving about a documentary he watched about Carl Reiner.
Yeah, I did the red carpet for that. Seriously,
oh,
it's
the
a
Obit,
superb. Yeah, it's a superb
on HBO.
Documentary.
So check that out.
Ryan Coogler,
and Michael B. Jordan.
And Michael B. Jordan reteaming for a cheating scandal.
Wrong
drama.
Answer. This this was news that broke 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it got set up now with Plan B producing or whatever. But really interesting role for Michael B. Jordan, where he's going to be playing a teacher who helped students cheat.
And I am liking these cheating dramas.
This one could be really good.
Yeah, I'm liking that.
Man, what else? Hannah John Kamen got a role in Ant-Man and the Wasp. You know, I don't know what that character is. I'm sure you'll see plenty of speculation online. Check out the trailers for the Unabomber series starring Sam Worthington. I thought that looked cool. And then, of course, R.I.P. Glenn Headley, who died this morning.
I mean, a lot of people are talking about her in Dick Tracy. She played Tess Trueheart, but Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Purple Rose of Cairo.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
I just saw her
in The Night Of, in The Circle, and I always liked her in Don John.
Yeah.
So she will be missed, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it for this week. What a big show. There's a lot to get through.
I'm sorry for raining on your Hellboy thing. September, okay. Folks. Everybody, Hellboy coming in September. Exclusive. You heard it here on Meet the Movie Press.
Just watch the film sites. Ignore that.
Where can the good folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Showbiz Simon. You can find me on a Facebook page. This is Simon Thompson. And don't forget to like the show and subscribe and tweet about it. We had guys in the chat show, Jake Silver, especially saying, why don't people tweet about the show? And he's done it today.
I don't know. So we should be on t-shirts. Buy us a billboard, folks. I'm Jeff Snyder, editor-in-chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at The InSnyder. Thanks as always for watching the Popcorn Talk Network. And
welcome back.
A wonderful, a mummy-rific weekend, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm auditioning for the sequel.
You're a monster.
Oh, sir, you're a monster.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.